from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, broadcasting from the Pods Moving and Storage Studios. This is the Ramsey Show, where we help people build wealth, do work that they love, and create actual, amazing relationships. Jade Washall, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Open phones here at 888-825-5225. Jason is with us in Sacramento. Hi, Jason. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Good afternoon, Jade and Dave. So my financial plan has ADD. I'm kind of all over the place with my baby steps.
Why?
Well, I've been listening to you guys for a number of years. I follow you online. I haven't actually signed up for Financial Peace, but I did register to become a coordinator. We paid off our basic debt. We paid off our car debt. We have our emergency fund. We have our, 3 to 6 months in savings. So I think we're on 4, 5, and 6, and then we just kind of went, okay, we're good.
You have no debt at all except your house.
Well, you're going to yell at me. I have $2,000 in credit card debt that we roll over, not roll over, but our monthly expense. But
no, wait, were you listening? Okay.
Yeah, I was.
Dave. Okay, so you already got yelled at a little bit. For those listening,
I will get yelled at, yes.
For those listening, the past segment, we yelled at some folks. But here's the thing, Jason. You said you're a longtime listener. You said you understand the program. You're choosing to do something different. You're choosing to work your own plan, but you called us, and I'm going to tell you to cut up the credit cards, and I'm also going to look at you with a smart look on my face and wonder why you are doing that.
Honestly, the way it started for years, I was cash only before your show.
Uh-huh.
And then we weren't in a position where we wanted to pay cash for a car because it would have cut too much into our savings. And we had no credit. So,
I'm sorry. Let's stop a second.
Stop.
Okay. I've heard about your plan and you know about our plan. What's your question?
Yeah. So the question is, outside of my $2,000 credit card debt for the monthly bill, I'm somewhere between steps 4, 5, and 6.
No, you're not.
And I'm just trying to figure out the best way to
navigate.
You're not working this plan. The baby steps. But what's your question then?
Okay.
What's your question?
Okay, so you want me to pay off the credit card debt?
No, what is your question?
Roll into steps 4, 5, and 6?
I want you to tell me what your question is.
Are
you asking what baby step you're on?
In my head, I think I'm in baby step 4.
You're in baby step 2.
You're in baby step 4 of your head. But you have a different plan of baby steps than we do. So, no, you're in baby step 2. You still have credit card debt, and you still have credit cards. So you still have consumer debt. 100% debt-free with no credit cards and debit cards in your pocket that you use your money is baby step 2. And you're not there, okay? And it's inconvenient to pay cash for my car because I don't want to limit my savings is your plan, not a millionaire plan. Not a wealthy person plan, a middle class person's plan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to leave money in savings at 3 to 5% and borrow money to buy a car at 8 to 12%. Well, that's a freaking genius move. I mean, so what you've got to decide, Jason, is, and it's okay, we're not going to be mad at you, but don't walk around telling people that you're on a baby step because you're not doing any of it. You're doing your deal. And one of my friends who's a wealthy guy that still had been playing around with debt and stuff, I was actually speaking at an event, and he and I ended up having lunch after the event in another city. And he said, I finally did all your stuff. And I'm like, what do you mean? What do you mean you did all my stuff? Because you ain't done nothing, I said.
Right.
We've been friends a long time, and you've been stupid the whole time I've known you. And he goes, well, what do you mean? And he goes, I said, man, it's okay. I still love you. You're still my friend, but you don't do our stuff. And he goes, no, I really do. I said, what do you mean? And he goes, I did it all. I'm 100% debt free. I've got my emergency fund. Matter of fact, I'm paying off my house. I paid off my house 2 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
And so he's baby step 7, right? He did it all. And I said, what changed? And he goes, well, I finally had to submit myself to the process that you laid out. because I kept thinking I could figure it out faster than you could, and I forgot that you're the guy on this.
Yeah.
And he goes, and oh, by the way, when you're doing the stuff in my world, you're going to submit yourself to my way because I'm the expert there. And I'm like, I'm in.
Smart guy.
You know, I mean, you got to find a proven thing and then do the thing, not ish it.
I mean,
ish is a wish.
Dave, you're on the radio. We're on the radio. A number 16 show, financial expert. And when I'll talk about myself from before I got here. I listen to you and I listen to the other personalities because I'm like, they're in that position. They understand money. I'm a lay person. I'm just trying to scratch and claw my way. Do I really think that I've got a better method, or am I going to go for the folks that have helped millions of other people do it?
And if you do, it's okay. Go do that. It's okay. We don't have to be mad about it. I'm not mad about it. But here's the thing. If you want to do the stuff we're talking about, do it.
Yeah.
And it'll work. It's a proven process. Screwing around with it and ishing it. I'm Ramsey-ish. It just doesn't work, Jason. It doesn't work, my brother.
I do get salty,
Dave.
You
and I
Dave.
Be friends, and you keep your car payment and your credit cards, and we'll still be friends, and I'll just be your rich friend.
I get a little frustrated with it, Dave. I'm not going to lie.
It is frustrating, but you know, it's just, but the frustration is not because of, like, we're insulted.
No.
Because we love you, folks.
Yeah.
We love you. We want you to win. We want you to do better.
Yeah.
And we want you to turn the corner on this stuff. And so, but it's like a lot of things in life. Have you ever had a friend that was, you know, trying to quit drinking or trying to quit misbehaving, and you wanted it for them more than they wanted it for them?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's the frustrating part, because we see it and we know and we get it. And
welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Yeah.
So there you go. But yeah, because we love you. But everybody's got stupid people that they love. I mean, you know, we all do. And I'm the stupid people that other people love.
I was about to say,
okay.
Sometimes
I'm on the other end of that in some cases. I love Dave, but he's crazier than a bean. You know, I mean, it's okay. That's all right. I'm good with that. We don't have to be mad about it. We don't have to troll somebody about it or something like that. It's just a matter of, are you going to do this stuff? It's like, I hired a personal trainer and he's got a six pack. I got a keg, right? And I'm like, and he tells me what I need to eat. Now, if I don't eat what he says, then I'm not going to look like him.
Well, that is one thing to not eat what he says, but don't sit there and argue with him about it.
I'm actually a nutrition specialist. Check out this belly. It proves it.
Right. Some of the folks come
obviously,
on here and they rip
obviously
off their
I
shirt.
Have taken in more food than you, so I know more than you. This is the Ramsey Show. Jade Warshaw, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Thank you for joining us, America. Our question of the day, sponsored by Neighborly, your hub for home services. Don't wait until the AC or other home systems go out this summer. Neighborly is your key to staying on top of your home maintenance needs. Don't wait on emergencies. Find reliable home service providers like AirServe, Mr. Appliance, and Mr. Rooter Plumbing, lots of others, at neighborly.com. Keeps your house running like clockwork.
Today's question of the day comes from Harry in Georgia. He says, I have a budget in place, and I'm using the debt snowball. Would you recommend consolidating all of the debt into one giant personal loan? I also have a total of $50,000 between 5 credit cards, a personal loan, and an appliance loan. I also have a ton of equity in my home, so I was wondering about doing a home equity loan, which could give me tax savings on the interest. Should I just keep it status quo for now and continue the snowball, or do debt consolidation loan? Overall, I'm just looking to expedite debt elimination. All right. So, the debt snowball, I would not call status quo. I think that it is the most effective way to pay off debt. And it's been proven. There's been some studies. I know Harvard published a paper about why the debt snowball actually works, and that it works. It's the most successful way to pay off debt. So I would not recommend, Harry, doing a consolidation or a HELOC. And it sounds like you're just like trying to think of ways to get this debt out of your life. And again, there's no easy button. You're going to have to list your debts from smallest to largest and work to pay this off. If you do a debt consolidation loan, there's a couple of things there. You're not paying it off. You're just clumping it all together, moving it all together. And actually, there are studies that show that when you do that, your brain thinks that you have less debt and you go back into debt again because you've moved it all into one payment. You haven't actually paid it off. Not to mention when it comes to debt consolidation, you know, they're doing for you what you can do yourself. They're making deals with these companies. You can do that yourself. You can set up payment schedules. You can do all of that yourself. You don't have to pay somebody to do it for you. And a lot of times the interest rate when you get debt consolidation is no better because it's based on your credit. And if you have ruined credit, then you're not going to have a better credit rate on that debt consolidation loan anyway, a better interest rate. So I wouldn't do that. And then talking about the HELOC again, you're just moving debt and now you're moving it into your home mortgage. So you really want to put your home on the hook for your debt. I would not do that. Home equity line of credit is what he's talking about for somebody who's listening the first time and you don't understand what that is. It's basically a line of credit that you pull out on your home. And he wants to use that to pay off his debt. A terrible idea. You're not paying it off. You're just moving it into your mortgage. Not a good idea. Let's use the debt snowball. Again, list your debt smallest to largest, make minimum payments on all of the debt, and then take any and all extra money that you can and throw it at the smallest debt until it's paid off. Gotta go quickly, gotta use intensity for this. And then when that smallest debt is paid off, the money is freed up and you throw it on the next smallest debt. And then you do that again. And before you know it, you've got a nice snowball going, and that is how you pay off debt. And let me tell you something, you wanna do that. You need to do it smallest to largest so that you feel those wins. Harry, because when you feel the win of paying off that smallest debt, you're going to be like, wait a minute, I can do this. This works. And then you're going to go to the next one. And you feel that motivation once you begin starting and once you start feeling the momentum that comes with the snowball. So just do it. Just walk yourself through the process. You're going to be better for it. You're going to allow yourself to feel the pain of your debt. When you do the snowball, you feel it because you have to work to make it happen. You're not just rolling it into some other loan. You're not rolling it into your mortgage. You're not taking the easy way out.
Harry, the thing you got to remember is this. You have a block of debt that's $50,000. If that block of debt is a debt consolidation loan, it's still $50,000. If that block of debt is a HELOC, it's still $50,000. There's only one way to get rid of $50,000. Pay $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
There is none of these programs. All they do is lower the amount of interest, and interest is not your problem. Spending more than you make is your problem. Not increasing your income enough to throw at the $50,000 is your problem. You need to come up with $5,000 a month for 10 months because you work so much that you can't breathe. Great place to go when you're broke, to work.
Ooh.
The interest rate on your HELOC versus the interest rate on your debt snowball is not going to fix the problem.
No.
You need $50,000. That's the problem. You're concentrating on the wrong end of the iceberg. The interest is just sticking up above the water. There's a big iceberg below the surface.
Mm-hmm.
It's $50,000. That's the problem. And I want to write off the interest as having a HELOC. You're not writing off the interest. you don't write off the interest on a HELOC. You know why? Only 13% of Americans itemize. 87% take the standard deduction.
Ooh, good point.
So you probably are taking a standard deduction, which means you don't get to write off the interest because you already took your standard deduction.
Mm-hmm.
If you are one of the 13% who itemize, you probably are not itemizing this anyway, and it's not that big a deal. I mean, the interest, let's say it's 10% on $50,000, it's $5,000. You know what that saves you in taxes? $1,250. $1,250 isn't your problem.
Right.
$50,000 is your problem. Quit trying to trick your way out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Come up with $50,000. That's how you do it. And the debt snowball leads you through that process and keeps you moving. But you've got to concentrate. You need $5,000 a month extra for 10 months or $2,500 a month extra for 20 months. And that gets rid of your problem, not a little bit of savings on interest or some faux tax write-off that you're not even really taking because you're taking a standard deduction. That's what's really going on. Tara's in Kalamazoo. Hi, Tara. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks, Dave and Jay, for taking my call.
Certainly. How can we help?
My husband and I are about 35, and we have one kid and one on the way. We have about $200,000 left on our mortgage, which is at a 2.375% rate. It was originally a 15-year. We have 12 left on it. We have no other debts, about $60,000 in cash. We have about $500,000 in investments with one 401k that we max out each year. We have $140,000 in short-term treasuries like I-bonds and T-bills.
How much was your mortgage again?
It was, originally was about $240,000.
Now, what is it today?
We have $200,000 left.
And you have $140,000 in I-bonds and $60,000 laying around in cash?
Yes.
Why do you still have a mortgage?
Well, that's what my question is around, is should we, like, we've seen rates climb, right, with treasuries about 5% now. So we're curious if we should take advantage of our current position, seeking something low duration, like a 17-week T-bill, and put, like, all of our $200,000.
You're not making any money on that stuff.
If I were you, I would be mortgage-free today.
You're not making any money on that stuff. You need to roll out the actual math that you're talking about here. And how many dollars it results in? It's not spit. You're not getting wealthy with this.
Yeah.
I mean, you actually take $140,000 and multiply it times that. I mean, you can't even go out to eat. It's not real money. You're just playing a math game. You're trying to do this with intellect. And if you actually run it out the nominal dollars that are the resulting here, you're not making it, you're not arbitraging your house into T bills and making any spread. It's the difference is a joke, mathematically. I mean, it's a couple thousand bucks. It's not going to make you rich. You're playing games with stuff that's not going to make you rich. You can pay off your house today.
That'll make you rich. Yeah. Get some money aside for 3 to 6 months.
Yeah. 3 to 6 months of expenses and emergencies, no other debt, and liquidate everything that's non-retirement and pay this house off this week. That's what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely not borrowing on my home to invest in T-bills. This is The Ramsey Show. Jade Warshaw, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Open phones at 888-825-5225. Angie's in San Bernardino. Hi, Angie. Welcome to The Ramsey Show.
Hi. Hi, Miss Jade. Hey, Mr. Ramsey. What an honor to talk to you both. Thank you so much for taking our call today.
Our pleasure. How can we help?
Okay, so I'm hoping you can help us out. My beautiful husband and I cannot agree what to do with a rental property that we have. My hubby is pretty concerned about the capital gains and the recapture of depreciation that we would have to pay if we sell it. And I, on the other hand, I think it's a really good time to sell. And I think this money would change our lives. We would pay off our home. We would invest a little more in our Roths. And... maybe do a small home renovation. And eventually, like you mentioned before, you read the menu from left to right. I can't wait to get there. So we are humbly asking for your opinion. I should disclose something, and no pressure, okay? No pressure at all. But he did say that if you said that we sell, that he's going to sell. So go ahead and tell him to sell. No, I'm kidding.
I think we've been set up, Jade.
So the only reason he doesn't want to sell is simply to avoid those capital gains. It's not because he just loves the property and wants to hold on to it and loves the cash flow.
No, the cash flow is very, very low, unfortunately, less than $500 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And no, we don't particularly love it. It was our first home, but we've been out of it for so long, and it's almost like he can't stomach that we probably will have to pay quite a bit of money.
So what's the house worth, the rental?
The house right now is worth about $530,000, and we owe about $220,000.
Okay. All right. And so you're going to walk out with $300,000, we'll call it. Okay. Not quite.
Yeah.
But somewhere in that
not
range.
Quite,
and
right.
Your the balance on your mortgage is what?
$225,000.
Okay. So by the time you pay capital gains and expenses to sell the house, you pay off your home, you're going to have a little left, but not much.
So I'm sorry. Our home that we live in now, we only owe
$120. Oh, I thought you said $225. Okay, $225 is the rental. You were correcting the $220. Now I'm catching on. Okay.
Just $120. Yeah, and it's worth like $700.
Let's say $300. Let's call it $250 after some taxes and $120. So you would have $130, $125, or whatever left over to do some other things with, give or take. Okay.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Here's the thing. Let's pretend for a second. A good way decision making tool that I use in our house, Sharon and I use this all the time, is if it was already done, would we undo it? Meaning sunk cost analysis is what it's called. Okay, and this comes from the Harvard Investment Newsletter, where the teacher in the investment class would say, if you ever use what you paid for something as your reason for keeping it, then that's using the wrong analysis. And the class was taught to yell out sunk cost. The only reason you keep something is that you like what it's going to do in the future, not how we got here. Okay? That's a proper analysis of an investment, but it's also the proper analysis of possessions. Okay? And so if I'm looking at a boat in my driveway that I haven't put in the lake in 4 years, and it's worth $10,000, and I say to myself, if I had $10,000 piled in the middle of the table instead of that boat, would I go buy that boat? And the answer is, since I don't use the boat anymore, would obviously be no, right? So that tells me it's time to sell the boat. That's a sunk cost analysis. If I didn't have the boat and I had the money instead, which is what happens if you sell it, then would I go buy the boat? And in my case, we have boats and we use them every summer. We love to ski. We're a lake family. And so if I didn't have that boat, I had that money, would I go buy that boat? And I'm like, yeah, I sure would. Then I don't need to sell my boat, because that means I like it. It's what we're saying. So let's reverse this and say your house is paid off. This is your husband. Okay. Your house is paid off. You have $120,000 in a checking account to do renovations with, go on a trip with, or whatever it is you described a while ago you were going to do with the extra. If that were the case and you had the opportunity to buy this property that you currently own, and you didn't own it, but you had the opportunity to buy it and put down, you'd borrow money on your house, you take the money out of your checking account, and you go buy this house to put down $300,000 on it, $250,000 on it, and we're going to have a $500 cash flow, and this is the house we own. Would you do that? And his answer is going to be no.
He's shaking his head right now. You nailed it. That's what you said.
He's shaking his head what?
He's shaking his head. You're right. He wouldn't buy it.
Yeah, he wouldn't go buy it, because the only reason he's keeping it is not because he's in love with the future of it. He just doesn't want to give the government any money because he hates them. And I agree. Okay? But I get the emotion, but that's not the reason for keeping the house. The reason for keeping the house is it makes a better future for us. And nowhere in your description of why he wanted to keep the house was that. That's how I knew he would sell it. That's how I knew he would sell it. So it's sold. And the only bad part about this conversation, Angie, is you win. You set us up. You set us up, and you still won, and we knew we were set up.
We all win, Mr. Ramsey.
Good call.
Especially my husband.
Yo, you totally used us, and you still won, and we knew it was happening. So this was a great experience. We're so glad you called.
Oh, thank you, guys. I love you both. Thank you so much.
We love you, darling. Thank you for calling.
That was good.
Mark is with us in Knoxville. Hey, Mark, welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hey, Mr. Ramsey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I had an uncle pass away, and I was notified that I have a beneficiary IRA in my name.
An inherited IRA.
I was just looking at the paper. Yeah, yeah. And it's around $56,000, and mm-hmm. so I was just calling to see, what I should do with it. I talked with the person there, and they said, I'll be taxed. I can leave it in there. It'll grow tax free for 10 years. But then after that, I'm required to take it, take the money out, and then it'll be taxed.
No, it's not exactly true. It has to be liquidated. Okay. It has to be liquidated 10% a year for 10 years.
Gotcha.
Okay. An inherited IRA, you have 10 years to undo it, and you have to do it 10% a year. So $5,600 each year for 10 years comes out and is taxed. That is the longest you can leave it in. You can also just take it all out today and pay the taxes. How old are you?
I'm 26.
What do you make?
I make about, like, I'm on contract now, but like 110
Good
grand
for you.
A
what
year.
Do you do?
I'm a software developer.
Good for you. Okay. Well, we want to honor married. We want to honor your uncle's memory and what a wonderful legacy that he's left to you, and I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
So are you asking what you should do with it?
Yeah, I'm like, what, I didn't know, because I didn't know from like taxes, should I just leave it and let it grow and there and take that minimum, like you said, that I have to take out per year and let it grow? Or is it like cash out, like just cash out everything? Like what?
Yeah. Do you have any debt?
Figure out. No, I don't.
Good for you.
Very good.
Okay. Do you have an emergency fund of 3 to 6 months of expenses?
Yeah, I do.
Good for you. You're doing good, man. Well, I would make sure that the money is invested in good growth stock mutual funds and learn about those. Sit down with an investment advisor. If you need one, you can find them at a SmartVestor Pro that we recommend at RamseySolutions.com, clicking on SmartVestor Pro. And then I would leave it. You're going to be required to move 10% out a year for 10 years and be taxed on it. But I'd leave it, let the government, keep the government's hand off of it as long as I can. This is The Ramsey Show. Jade Warshaw, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. All right, folks, you got a lot of questions this time of year about taxes. We have agreed that we are ultimately hate them, but we got to pay them because it's the law. And we don't break the law. So there you go. Let's unpack a question from one of our listeners. Would Ramsey Smart Tax software give me a lower tax bill than TurboTax? I doubt it. I wouldn't count on it to give you a lower tax bill. Tax software is tax software. The only difference is what you pay for it and how easy it is to use. It should give you, assuming both of them are reasonably written software, that they should give both give you a similar result. Ramsey Smart Tax is powered by a company called Tax Slayer, who's been around for over 50 years, and you can count on the software to be accurate and up to date. I think TurboTax will be accurate and up to date. It's a little wacky, a little wonky to use, and it's one of the reasons we did Smart Tax, because it's owned by Intuit, which is Rocket Mortgage and QuickBooks and lots and lots and lots and lots of credit cards.
Yeah.
So their whole reason for doing TurboTax is to try to get your name and use it to sell you debt products. Mm-hmm. So obviously Ramsey Smart Tax is not going to do that. It's just a simple software. You pay a few bucks and you do your taxes. It's no big deal. But I think the tax, you know, is you know, even though TurboTax is the evil empire, we're also going to not say lies about them in that I think their tax software is fine. I think it does a reasonably good job, and I don't think you're going to find anything particularly different about it in terms of the result. Like, do I get a higher refund with Ramsey? No, I don't think so. Not if both of them are operating properly.
Yeah.
They should do that. So RamseySolutions.com/smarttax. If you don't want to be shoveled debt products while you're trying to do your thing. The other thing is all the forms are included and there's no like upcharge gotchas. You want some fries with that? We don't do that. The thing just works and you pay one fee and you get it. It's real simple, real clean. RamseySolutions.com/smarttax if you want to just keep your life simple. Yeah, both are accurate. Open phones at 888-825-5225. Vicki is in Las Vegas. Hi, Vicki. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. How can we help?
I am wondering, my husband and I both have long-term care insurance. And recently I got a letter saying that I could increase the benefit for an additional charge for my premium. It doesn't seem significant for on either. And I just wondered what your feeling was. Do you just stick with a long-term policy that you have? I mean, it's with the same company, but they every 3 years they send you this offer. I turned it down the last 3 years, so if I turn it down this time, they won't offer it to me again.
Okay. So how much is your coverage?
We have 3 years,
mm-hmm.
and it's about $61,000 a year, so just okay. a little over $180,000.
Have you shopped around and looked at long-term care, nursing home, or whatever process you're going to use, and can you do that for $60,000 in your area?
No, you cannot. It seems to me like it would be like the max they pay a day is $165,000, and it seemed to me like it was going to be more like
it was going to be what?
$250,000.
No, I'm talking about per year.
No, I think it'd be closer to about $80,000.
Okay, so you have $60,000. You have $60,000 per year for 3 years, and you think it's going to take $80,000 per year for 3 years.
Right, but the increase that they're offering is only an extra $17 a day.
Okay.
So it's not significant, and then it costs an extra $20 a month on the policy.
Okay. All right. And do you have any money?
Our home is worth about $900,000, and we have about $700,000 in mutual funds.
Good for you.
And
we have
pension and Social Security that okay. adds up to about $120,000 a year. So we don't need our money.
So here's the thing. Okay, here's your way you pose the question back to yourself, and it'll tell you what to do. Do I want to take $20,000 a year worth of risk for 3 years, $60,000 total exposure? It's going to take mm-hmm. 80, but you got 60 coverage, right?
Right.
Do I want to take a $60,000 exposure for $20 a month and get rid of some of it? Or do I want to, with my $700,000, be very comfortable that I can cover that 60?
Okay.
You don't take the increase. You self-insure okay. it with the $700 because you're not taking right. that much risk relative to the size of your nest egg.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, right, you really could self-insure the whole thing if you wanted to drop it.
Well, I've been on the fence about it, but thank you for saying that because I've just not known what to do, so I've kept it.
Yeah, it's okay to keep it, but I would definitely not increase it. But, you know,
okay.
so again, what would you be taking on? The typical nursing home stay in America is 2.5 years. That's the national average.
Right.
And, you know, so your exposure is 3 years. At 80,000, okay. 240,000. So if Papa goes into the nursing home, you end up with $500,000 when the smoke clears if you self-insure through this on average. Now, it could go higher, but if it goes higher, you run out of coverage anyway because you've only got 3 years of coverage.
Right,
yeah.
Right, exactly.
So it's taking the edge off by having the policy. But I would not give them another dime for any more coverage. I think you're in good shape financially. By the way, you're millionaires. You did a great job, Vicki.
Very good.
Great work. Paul's with us in Omaha, Nebraska. Hey, Paul, welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. Really appreciate it.
Sure. How can we help?
All right. I got a how much house would you buy question. We're moving from Omaha to the Pacific Northwest to be closer to family. And we've got a total, including our retirements, which this last year I converted all into Roth. We got about $600,000 that we could spend. That would take us down to no retirement and just our 6 month emergency fund. And the question that I have is, how much of that would you spend on a house?
Are you talking about draining your retirement to pay cash for a house?
Potentially some of it. It's a question. So right now, like almost all of that is basically Roth principal because of the conversion this last year.
How old are you?
So I can take, I'm 34. My wife's 31.
So you're going to be penalized too.
Because of the Roth conversion and because it's all principal, we could take it without the penalties. Almost all of it.
What's your household income?
Well, let's call it 120.
How much of the 600 is the Roth?
Total, and that's about it's about 135 right now.
Okay, so you've got 450,000 that's not in retirement.
Correct.
Okay.
That's available to you. The 450 that's left, if you can take it without penalty, and then leave the other 135.
So the place that we're moving to, it's got a pretty wide range of houses that you can buy there. Anything from, you know, your $250,000 serious need of fixing up,
right,
to your $1 million plus home.
That would be true in every city.
I mean, the fact of the matter is you can only buy what you can afford, right? So that's kind of that's what your parameter has got to be. And of course, we would say to pick something that's on a 15-year fixed rate where the income is no more than 25% of your take-home pay. So those are the parameters we're working in. I wouldn't touch the 135, the 135K principal. I would just use the 450. And if you want to save a little bit longer to have more, save longer.
Yeah, put 450 down as a minimum. It'd be nice to buy a $450,000 house, just pay cash. That'd be choice one.
Yeah.
Choice two is don't take out a mortgage that's more than a fourth of your take-home pay on a 15-year fixed with 450 down. This is The Ramsey Show.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Jade. Look, if you like what you heard in this episode and want to know more about getting started on the Ramsey Baby Steps, go to RamseySolutions.com and click the Get Started button. We'll help you figure out the best next step for you based on your specific situation. That's RamseySolutions.com and click Get Started.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.